Red 5, I'm going in.
Stay in attack formation.
Star Wars fans, and welcome to another edition of Trench Run Report. I am your host, Aaron Russo, and here with me is...
Justin Gray, standing by.
And we are going to be completing our trilogy on collecting Star Wars toys, primarily. But before we jump into... Today we'll be talking about basically the Disney era, from Force Awakens to present day. But before we do that, we... thought it would be appropriate to at least briefly acknowledge and recognize the passing of James Earl Jones, who was the iconic, timeless voice of Darth Vader for the better part of almost 50 years. So we thought it would be appropriate to at least mention that and maybe talk about that a little bit. I know that that's one of those... things where when you hear about someone who's that memorably and that important as a part of Star Wars, which is something that's obviously really important to us, it hits you a little differently. Because if you really think about it, I mean, like, we've been listening to his voice. I've been listening to his voice since I was 7 years old. It's probably one of the most iconic voices, for sure the most iconic voice in Star Wars, and certainly one of the most iconic character voices that's ever been created. And not to mention his, you know, he did, I kind of forgot that he was the voice of Mufasa, which is huge. And his role, for me, one of his most memorable roles was in The Field of Dreams, with Kevin Costner, so we remember the voice of Darth Vader, and that, you know, I mean, I was watching the Empire of Dreams the other day, the documentary, and they were talking about that, you know, how they couldn't use David Prowse's, he was doing the voice acting when they were shooting the film, there was just no way they could use it. And it really is just one of many examples of how, you know, one thing leads to another, and Star Wars ends up producing, you know, one of the most iconic film voice acting roles probably ever. I don't know that any other voice acting role is as memorable or as notable as Darth Vader.
I really can't think of anybody that, even from a young age, I actually mostly knew him as Mufasa and the old man from The Sandlot, growing up as a kid. And then when I watched Star Wars for the first time with my dad, I think it kind of clicked that I recognized that voice, and I didn't know where until like many years later, and it made sense to me back then. And given that he has spoken some of the most,
yes,
most iconic
line in all of movie history.
Yes. There was a little video that I saw on Instagram not too long ago where they talked about his time on Star Wars, and he's like, well, if you think about it, like, whereas Mark Hamill, Carrie Fisher, Harrison Ford, they've been at it like for days on end. The first time he did Star Wars, he only recorded it He only did sat in a recording booth for 2 hours.
Really?
For the first Star Wars.
He recorded all the voiceover for Darth Vader and A New Hope in 2 hours?
Just 2 hours.
Wow.
That was it.
That's amazing.
And then when they called him back for Empire, he had to sit with George and they had to like pick apart what they did right the first time. Which is like amazing when you think about it.
Right.
Like, and then like somehow they made it better in Empire and Return of the Jedi.
Yeah.
Then when Rebels came around, I was very thrilled to hear that he came back for that.
Yeah.
And then in Rogue One, when he reprised his role again.
Yep.
Despite the criticism at the time, which I didn't care. It was his voice. That was all that mattered to me. Despite sounding a little bit older and seasoned.
It didn't faze me at all.
But
the way they used his voice in Kenobi was absolutely... What a perfect last time for his voice to be heard, merged and overlapped with Hayden Christensen. I thought that was just perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, I never even thought about that.
There's another thing, too, is that, like, that wasn't the, like, he wasn't like Harrison Ford where, like, he gets annoyed when people talk to him about it. He even mentioned it, like, while doing the Big Bang Theory, like, during that cameo, where he's, like, saying that he really does like Star Wars.
Right.
There's even some commercials and like TV announcements that he did for Star Wars back in the 70s when they released the movies like on like TV networks for the first time. So
yeah, I didn't even think about that. I mean, like, I think that the only other line of movie dialogue that and this has kind of fallen out of people's lexicon is from Gone with the Wind. Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn. Like, that's an iconic line. But I think that Vader saying, "No, Luke, I am your father," is more widely known globally and is the most iconic line that was ever delivered in cinema. It's wild. It's a sign of the times. You know, we're getting further and further away from the original Star Wars when it first came out. And yeah, it's wild.
And plus, the James Earl Jones was one of the first voices that I've tried to imitate for a very long time.
That's pretty good.
And I would actually just sit watching over and over. Just, like, it even got to the point where, like, in Kenobi, there was a line, like, where he's like, "I am what you made me."
Yeah.
Which, I was like, wait, okay, that seemed a little off, and like he would draw out the me with a little bit of a growl at the end, like me, like he would kind of put the emphasis where. Then that's where I heard that they used AI for Kenobi. I was like, okay, now it makes sense, but yeah, you. Make a long story short, he got me into voice acting. He actually, like, and that led me to take voice acting lessons and acting lessons. And not only that also helped me with So I have autism, and it's hard for me to identify what emotions to use and like what emotions to react off of with people.
Mm.
And just in like in a way like James Earl Jones, he used acting as a way to like conquer so many hurdles. And I think when I took the acting lessons, it was kind of like that. And I think like directly and indirectly, it was an inspiration that it was like a huge inspiration for me. So,
yeah,
that,
it's a significant loss. No doubt about it.
Now, what else can we say, but may the force be with you, James Earl Jones.
Yes, indeed.
You earned it.
All right. Well, on that note, we will dive into our last discussion of Star Wars collecting. And we are covering the era that more or less goes from The Force Awakens to present day. And I think this is probably my... I was thinking about this, and I think this is probably, in many ways, my favorite of the three discussions that we're having.
Okay.
For two reasons. Number one, if you don't mind me telling the story, like the Trench Run Report exists because of the release of the Phantom of the Phantom Menace, not the Phantom Menace, the Force Awakens toys. Because you and I, Justin and I, first met and became acquainted at the midnight opening of Toys R Us for the Force Awakens toys. And I remember very clearly that experience. I had rounded up most of my kids, all the kids who lived in Michigan still, except for my oldest daughter. And we had planned out to be at Toys R Us at midnight. And we thought, oh, man, there's probably going to be a line, like, super early. And I remember we pulled up into the parking lot. I don't remember exactly what time it was. Maybe 10 o'clock at night, maybe a little later. And we only saw one person standing up there. So we're like, oh, there's no line. But we were like, well, we'll just stay. And we were throwing the football in the parking lot, Toys R Us. And my daughter, Mariah, went up to the doors there and started talking with the person who was up there, and then I went up there, and that person was you. And I remember that very explicitly. And I remember you were there. I was like, man, this guy must really be dedicated. He's out here all by himself. Like, it's like, and I just, it was immediately, you know, it was one of those situations where it's like, you know, it's just, you don't meet too many people in the course of your life who you know, like I've been a fan of Star Wars since I was 7 years old, and it's very rare that you can meet people that you can instantly just connect with about something like Star Wars immediately on a level that most people aren't able to relate to. And but yeah, I remember, I mean, the combination of the excitement to have new Star Wars toys coming out for the first time in I don't know how many years. And then meeting you there and now sitting here podcasting after how many years of Trench Run Report?
Almost upcoming on five this month.
5 years.
Yep. Jesus. This month will be the fifth anniversary.
No way.
Yep.
Damn. That's incredible.
And to add the confetti to the party. So that event you're talking about, next year, it'll make it 10 years ago.
10 years ago that we were at Force Awakens toy release.
Yeah.
That's nuts. No way.
Yeah.
10 years?
Yeah.
Son of a gun. All I know is I remember, so obviously you were the first person in line. My family were the second people in line. And we were there, and then, you know, slowly the line started to build. And I think that's the first time that I met Todd.
No, Powell, yeah, Todd Powell, yeah.
Who I think you knew already, maybe.
No, that was my first night with Todd, too.
First time meeting him, too. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I just remember, I have such fond memories of that. Obviously, number one, because that was how we first met. But also, it was just such a special thing that my adult kids at the time, some of them were still in high school, but that my grown kids were still into it enough to go to Toys R Us at midnight with their dad to get new Star Wars toys. And, you know, it had been, I don't know how many years since the Revenge of the Sith, you know, release.
That was 10 years ago.
There was something about this release that just was so exciting. And it was so exciting to have the anticipation of not just The Force Awakens, but, you know, anticipating all these movies are going to come out and toys for every movie and, you know, midnight openings. And I didn't miss a single one of them, not for any of the openings for Force Awakens, Rogue One, Last Jedi, Solo. I made it to all of them. And then we tried to go to one for Rise of Skywalker, but there wasn't anything, which is very disappointing. So I guess that's kind of an interesting bookend, because like, I remember just being so excited about Force Awakens. And by the time Rise of Skywalker came out, I recognized that the era of midnight openings and toy releases was over, which is really wild to think about. But what I do also want to say, and just in opening, is that it was very clear, like, this was the turning point where, like, the toys looked better than they ever had. Like, the faces and then the Black Series figures, and, like, there was such a level of realism now with the toys that they were just, in my thinking, like, so much more, even more collectible and more enjoyable to collect than they've ever been. And I remember always, you know, you'd get they'd release the list of what was coming out, you know, and you'd see, oh, which thing am I going to try to get, you know, and like, you're going to get there early because you have to run in and get the, you know, cause like if you don't know how many they're going to have and whatever and all that. No. Anyway. Yeah. Great. That was probably, you know, that series of midnight openings was probably my favorite period of Star Wars collecting, that I can remember.
So Toys R Us 9 years ago, that was actually like one of my first, big Star Wars event that I ever went to.
Really?
That was home based, because that same year that was my first Star Wars celebration.
In Florida?
California.
California. In California.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. You went, and that was before the release of the toys?
Yeah.
Okay.
So they actually did display the Stormtrooper and Kylo Ren action figure.
At Celebration?
Yeah.
Oh.
So. Plus, yeah, there was not. They were keeping Force Awakens mostly in the shadows outside of the display exhibit, which showed the costumes for the movie. So it was like, but like the toy line, they kept really quiet.
What month was that?
So Celebration was in, I want to say April or March. But yeah, that experience was so mind-boggling, because me and my best friend Jacob, we took a road trip to California for that, back when you could, gas-wise.
Right.
Well, he mostly drove because I didn't have a license yet at the time. And in like the anticipation back then was really amazing. Yeah.
Yes.
And to kind of trail off from like what it was like at the time for Star Wars toys. There weren't Rebels had a good line, but it wasn't. I don't think it was like the merchandise hit that they were looking for.
No.
So, but when but Force Awakens, however, definitely was that big giant push on like Star Wars merchandising.
Mm-hmm.
So the Toys R Us thing was the first time I drove at that late at night. I mean, I was 22, so my mom was didn't care. Like, I don't want to say she didn't care. She was like, "You're an adult. You can do what you want. Just don't do anything stupid," kind of thing.
Like buy too many Star Wars toys.
Well, I don't think that was
that wasn't what she had in mind.
You know, that was before I had access to a credit card.
Okay,
so. So if I did have a credit card, I probably would have
overdone it.
Overdone it or maxed it out. But no. So I remember going there that night. I think I arrived there around 10 because there was nobody there.
Yeah.
So I kept going up, then back. Then I went to, dang it. Krispy Kreme.
Krispy Kreme.
and then went back. Then I took a little nap in my car. And then I was like, then it was getting later. And I was like, okay, I better go up. So I did. There was still not that many people there. Then I met you guys. And then the doors opened,
mm-hmm.
and I did get most of the action figures that I've never seen again in the stores, or even at the Holocron store in Texas. Some of those Force Awakens action figures aren't there.
Really?
Yeah, they have like a lot of the classic ones. So yeah. It was, so I got what I could afford at the time, which was, like, a couple action figures, and, oh my gosh. Hold on. My cat's being obnoxious. What? All right. Here. Yeah, that little Owlwag bar was one of the first things I got at Toys R Us as well. So then, yeah, it wasn't a huge amount, but I just remember the experience being like, oh my gosh, I got these action figures.
Yes.
And
there's nothing like that experience. Yeah.
And the displays.
Yeah.
Like, it was like walking into like childhood. Like, not only did they have like Force Awakens items, they had like they had some original trilogy figures.
Isn't that what they came out with, that the gigantic stuff,
yeah.
And I remember getting the like big size, and I don't know where this thing is. I bought the big,
the Stormtrooper one?
First Order Stormtrooper.
I've been wanting to get my hands on one of those in years.
I can't, for the life of me, I don't know where it went.
Really?
Yeah. Huh. I don't know where it went. I don't know if I gave it to one of my kids and they lost it, or I don't know where it went.
Huh.
Which is a really weird thing to misplace. But I remember I had that First Order Stormtrooper at the end of the hallway in my old rental house. And I don't know where it is.
Mm.
But anyway.
So that's also something that I kind of miss with current Star Wars is that they had like these, they had the line, like these toy lines where they had the toys that were like ridiculously massive sized. Like we're talking about like maybe like 2 feet high,
mm-hmm.
Stormtroopers, like, and I think they were called the Big Figs, and they had one for BBA, and then there's that R2 Big Fig right there, that's like really decent sized.
Mm-hmm.
They went all out, and plus they re-released. They made their FX lightsaber line a little more accessible. Because back then, like, most of... Like, even during the prequel era, if you wanted an FX lightsaber, most of the time you had to get that online. Or, like, they... It was a rarity for them to sell them in stores.
Yeah, I remember seeing them there.
So, but yeah, during the Force Awakens era, FX lightsabers were, like... at Toys R Us for once. They were at Target for once. I don't think I've ever seen one at Meijer. And speaking of FX lightsabers, I actually got the Kylo Ren one that year. And I think I still have it.
Is that the one that you used for your cosplay?
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep, here it is.
That is a beauty.
It's still,
Oh, yeah, this is a beast.
Yeah. But there's, like, the little knob, I think. Huh. Oh. Yeah.
That growl.
Yep.
That rough edge. Yeah.
So...
I remember everybody was... That was one of the first controversies, was these cross guards.
Uh-huh.
You're like, oh, he's going to hit himself with it. Oh. He's like, no, it's fine. Yeah, that thing is heavy. Jeez.
Yeah, I know.
That is a weapon.
So, and I think I also got the Kylo Ren voice changer helmet, which the voice changer really doesn't work that well. I mean, it didn't work well for that Vader one back in 2005 either, but it was still a decent helmet for the time. So the only regret that I have is that I didn't get any of the Force Awakens vehicles, like the TIE fighters and X-Wings for that. But I think I was more lucky during the Last Jedi line. Mm. But we'll get to that part soon. Was there... Oh, yes. Talking Yoda was one that I regret.
The one with
getting.
The where he had his little lightsaber?
Yeah.
Yes, I have that.
Okay. Yeah. I do remember you having that one.
Yeah, I got that. I didn't get that at the time. I got that later at Barnes & Noble, but yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Then, also that year, I got the, that little tiny BB-8 that you couldn't use at, like, where you could, like, use as a remote control, like, via your phone.
Hi, Judy.
So, that was really cool and fun at the time. I think I still have it somewhere.
I just remember that I wanted Kylo Ren. I wanted Kylo Ren stuff. I wanted the First Order Stormtrooper stuff. I wanted that king-size First Order Stormtrooper. And I just remember getting a lot of Legos. Because I think there was wasn't there a Millennium Falcon?
Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I have that. I got that night. I remember my kids, it was really interesting, my kids, especially my boys, they went straight to the stuff that they enjoyed as kids when they were younger. So they got the lightsabers, not the Force effects, just the, you know, the cheapo ones.
Mm.
Lightsabers and Legos. And I remember coming home with lightsabers and Legos, and then I got lots of Black Series figures, the big First Order Stormtrooper figure. I think that was those were the primary things, but I remember my kids, I was like, they could pick anything they wanted, and they all picked like the old school toys, like the old, you know, lightsaber, Legos. And I remember, yeah, building all those things. Like, it's all so nostalgic.
So, plus that Christmas was when I remember that Christmas all right. Like, there was like a point where it was like, what do we get Justin for Christmas? Oh, it's everywhere.
Yeah.
Because
the toys came out, like, did they come out in November?
September.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I can remember, because it wasn't cold out at all, really.
Yeah, not that cold.
So that was way ahead of the movie. Because the movie came out on Christmas. Around Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
So that's like 2 months before?
Yep.
Yeah. That's wild. Yeah. I mean, that was a, I'll never forget that. Specifically The Force Awakens. That release was so exciting. The anticipation of going to Toys R Us again and having like so many toys. And I remember just looking at everything over and over and over again and having such a hard time deciding what I wanted. But
Yep. If I had $9 to spare, I'd get an action figure. And it was like that for a while. And then cosplaying became like a huge thing. And then I got the Kylo Ren helmet and the lightsaber. And then I bought like a really cheap costume that I still sometimes use. And
And right after, and then after that was Rogue One, right? Mm-hmm. That was the next release.
Oh yeah.
And I remember going to that release. Yeah. And I remember they had some other like Black Series figures that weren't for Rogue One. I think didn't they have a Thrawn? I feel like there was a Thrawn. And it was like the first time that there was a Black Series Thrawn, I believe. It was either Rogue One or Last Jedi that they came out with a Black Series, but I just remember wanting the Shore Trooper. That was like my and the Death Trooper. And I got the bigger, not the giant one, but the big Death Trooper and the small one.
Oh, okay.
I remember getting both of those. The Death Trooper and the Shore Trooper were like on my radar for sure. Those were like way ahead of time. I was like, oh, those are toys I need.
So, yeah, my budget had definitely increased for that year. And I did get a lot more figures that year. I wasn't huge into Black Series until later on, which I kind of regret somewhat, because I still got the Rogue One set for Black Series. So, but that was like way later on when Black Series were on sale. But yeah, I don't remember too much. As far as the I'm trying to think, like, all that I got during, well, I did get more Black Series and action figures during Christmas time, obviously, and like the there was like some Force Awakens items that had the Rogue One promo art on it as well.
Uh-huh.
Because, like, now they can show some spoilers, of course. But, yeah, it was a very fun time, too. I remember being excited for the film. I remember liking the film okay, but it wasn't my favorite. Overall, like, I still collected for it, though.
Yeah.
Like, the Stormtroopers, the Darth Vader, the Director Krennic. Like, all of them I still have somewhere in one of those bins.
Yeah, I think I know I got the Death Trooper and the Shore Trooper, and I think I got Churrut and Baze. I think I got both of those. And I have Jin. I don't remember too much else that I got at that time. I remember The Last Jedi, like, I was super excited for the Crimson Guard, those red...
Oh, yeah, the Praetorian Guards.
Yeah, yes. those were a hot... That was my anticipation for Last Jedi, was for those figures.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember too much else about Last Jedi, because it was really not... There was nothing really new other than the red guards that really looked cool,
mm-hmm.
that wasn't in The Force Awakens.
So Last Jedi... before I forget, like, kind of backtracking to Rogue One, I did get a K2SO.
Things.
So that was cool. That one... I think my aunt actually got that for me, though.
I do have that one. But
anyway, so now... going back to Last Jedi. Last Jedi was kind of a weird one for merchandising for me, because I actually did get a lot more for that film than the previous two. Because I did get every single action figure that was available.
Really?
At the time when we were at Toys R Us. Even the combo ones. And I did get some action figures from the previous year as well. I remember getting the Porg, which I still have in my room.
Never got a Porg. I don't think I got a Porg anyway.
So, and plus there was like this online thing about this 7-foot plush Porg.
What?
It was really the thing.
7 feet?
7 foot, yes.
Who would want that?
A 7-foot plush.
That would go port. Like to your ceiling almost.
Yeah. So, they were banking on Porgs.
Yeah, that didn't work
being
out.
This marketing, Grumpy Cat or what they were hoping for Baby Yoda, but, I mean, Grogu, but... But we'll get to that part later. But yeah, they were really, really banking on Porgs being marketable. And I also did get some Lego sets for that. And I also got Kylo Ren's TIE silencer.
Mm.
Which was really cool. And I Toph had a Porg, and then she ruined it. But you know, you're not getting a new one. And I also got the Poe Dameron X-Wing helmet.
That was
cool. I mean, I don't wear it that often. It's just kind of sitting collecting dust next to the other X-Wing helmets and Stormtrooper helmets, which I got later. I just remember getting a lot of the toys, and then all of a sudden, most of the good ones were gone. And then the Rose Tico and General Hux's were all that remained on the shelves.
Yeah. Not too much demand for those.
No.
No.
That was definitely a fun era of collecting, and I did get a lot more as usual. I did get more Star Wars stuff that year than the previous two. So a lot of Last Jedi merch. And so I guess that kind of leads us into Solo.
Yeah, Solo was the last one.
Was there a midnight premiere for that?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I don't think I attended that.
I went to that. I think it was only me and two of my kids this time. I remember being excited for that because I definitely wanted something of Lando with Donald Glover as Lando. Or with, Donald Glover, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't remember a ton of other things about that movie in terms of collecting other than Lando. And I don't think I got anything that was like a different version of the Millennium Falcon.
Mm.
But I do remember there were fewer people there. And that was kind of like, you could feel like the momentum kind of going away. There weren't as many people there. And people were already grumbling about The Last Jedi. But there were still people lined up. There was still, like, it was still an event. But probably the least memorable. I don't even think all my kids were still interested in going. I think only two of them ended up going. But there was still just something about waiting in line in front of Toys R Us in the dark. You know, watching them put the toys out, counting down the time, you know, being the first one in the door to, you know, and see all the toys out. Like, it was still a really fun and just exciting and joyful experience. But yeah, I think Solo was probably, I probably got the fewest toys from that release. I don't really remember too much that was really unique to that release. But that was it. That was the last time that, because in Mandalorian, they didn't do any, like...
No, they merged that with Rise of Skywalker.
Yeah, and the Rise of Skywalker, there were no midnight openings. Nobody did anything mm-hmm. special. And I guess that's a big part of this discussion, you know, is that I remember very clearly, like, that day coming up, and I was, like, having this sense of, like, well, there's got to be something happening. Mm-hmm. But we couldn't find anything. And I think, was Toys R Us already closed by then?
Yeah, Toys R Us was long gone.
Was gone. And Target was usually the most reliable place mm-hmm. to do a midnight opening, yeah, and they weren't doing it. And then we ended up driving around. I remember we went to Meijer, Target,
Walmart,
and there was just, the toys weren't even out. We couldn't even buy anything. There wasn't even like, people, it was like, and I remember just being really disappointed. Almost like angry.
Mm.
Like, because I just realized, like, this is never going to be a thing again. And it was really, after 40 something years, it was the end of an era, the end of the midnight release, the end of really the excitement over physical toys.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
and you kind of have to consider that the toy landscape changed drastically from when I was a kid to the point when The Force Awakens came out. But even then, it was kind of a weird thing where it got to the point to where the marketing kind of just realized that the people that actually do buy the stuff is mainly collectors now.
Yeah.
It's
adults.
Like nobody's playing with these items.
Well, I mean, so. I think it was you saw it coming. The Toys R Us goes out of business.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I mean, even as we're sitting here talking about it, like, it's just very sad. Like, it's the end of an era of toys, playing with physical toys. You know, the only thing I was just remarking on this when I was at the Lego store the other day, it's like Lego is the only thing that really has survived the tidal wave of digital play and entertainment, you know,
mm-hmm.
video games and content and whatever. Like, Lego is the only, like, hands-on thing that's still thriving and even bigger than it ever has been. No other toys have really survived. There's been kind of a resurgence of, like, board games and tabletop games.
Mm-hmm.
But really, like, the way that people play is completely different now. And the only reason that a lot of people buy toys now is for collecting. It isn't for actual play, which is really weird if you really stop to think about that. Like,
mm-hmm.
It's wild.
Yeah.
And it's kind of sad. Like, it's especially for me, like when I was a kid, that feels like ancient history now. The 70s, you didn't have video games. I mean, Atari was coming out, like, I think late 70s, early 80s, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't, like, I'm trying to wrap my head around that. Like, there were no video games. So play was either with physical toys or, like, you actually went outside and played. Like, whatever you were doing, you know, hide and seek, tag, football, baseball, you know, imagine, you know, playing Star Wars outside, you know, pretending you're playing, you know, and, like, that's just not a thing anymore.
Mm. Yeah.
It's wild. And it's, I think that was what, I think part of what was hitting me with the Rise of Skywalker was, like, that for me, it was like, wow, like, I felt old and I felt angry and I felt like, no, that's not fair. Wait, no, wait, what's happened? And I remember, I think part of the reason I was so frustrated and angry was that I realized, like, there's no coming back. Like, this, there's never, it's not coming back. Like, that's it.
Mm.
And I don't even really remember, like, what, like, I mean, I think I went back to Toys R Us the next day, or to Target the next day. You know, it was just like going to shop for anything else. You would just go to the store. Like, there was no events. There was no big releases. They would just put the toys out whenever they put anything else out. And that was it. But I will say, just to wrap things up, because I kind of have to, I need to get to bed. I do remember getting very excited about the re-release of the Black Series figures with the Kenner card backs.
Oh, yes, the anniversary sets.
Yes. And the vintage or retro or whatever those,
mm-hmm.
where they re-released the original Kenner line, like replicas of that in the old card backs. Like, I remember getting so excited for those. Like, I was hunting those things down. Like, that, and then the other thing that I remember getting really excited about were those Clone Wars.
I could not find any of those at Target.
Really?
Or online.
The ones with the clone helmet, yep. on the packaging?
So, yep. Those were nostalgic to me.
Oh, I
Episode those. One.
Yeah, the Episode One re-releases.
And I yes. do have the Obi-Wan. I still need to look for the Darth Maul one. That they were, those two were Celebration exclusives. But yeah, I think, like, overall, even post, during COVID and post COVID, the toy collecting landscape was, like, I don't know if it really recovered from that either. I feel like, yeah. I see more at, like, FYEs and other places where they price gouge the living heck out of them.
Speaking of that, I was at FYE the other day. I was sending you guys a message. They've got everything there.
Like, oh, yeah.
They have stuff there that I've never seen anywhere else.
Yeah.
Like, crazy. Like, I didn't even know these things existed.
Like, the, I saw Balin's Skull in Shin Hati.
They have, like...
Yeah, they had, like, the ones that I
couldn't... They had, like, the king-size, like, concept art figures. And they had, like, I mean, I couldn't even keep, I mean, it was overwhelming. And some of it was super overpriced, but sometimes they drop the prices on things way down. I've never seen, in a brick and mortar, like, non, like, convention setting, I've never seen more toys than there. Mm-hmm. Like, they have everything. Like, yeah. And I don't know why I don't go there more often, because every time I go in there, I'm like, holy crap, they got,
yeah, oh my same, God. Same here, but what? Like then I look at the prices, and then I'm going like, yeah, maybe I could get this cheaper on like Amazon.
Or I took everything in me not to walk out with the, they had the concept art Vader and the concept Luke. And then there was another one. I don't remember what it was.
I know they had like a Maul there for a while.
I have the Maul
already. Oh, yep. Mm-hmm.
But... oh, those things are gorgeous. The concept Vader. Oh, I don't know how I didn't buy it.
So, yep. Then I also... so, Grogu was a big, giant selling merch monster for a while.
Yeah. You know, I never really got into collecting Grogu stuff. I have a couple of things.
Yeah, I actually have the first doll. Though, that one up there isn't the first. Actually, I think it's in here. Yep, here he is.
Oh yeah, I have that one
in the box. Yeah, my mom also has this one. which there's a picture of her holding Grogu, like if like that's like her new grandchild or something. It was fun. Like these things, actually, I got this one during the pandemic when they were super scarce.
Yeah, they were really hard to find.
And then all of a sudden, these were like the Tickle Me Elmos.
Yeah.
During the holiday season.
It's crazy because I don't think they were expecting that. And there was really no merch. And yeah, then it went to like where you just were almost, it was just almost annoying how much Grogu was out there. Like, there was just Grogu, 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 Grogu. Everything, everywhere. But... And the Mandalorian, like, Mando was a cool figure. I mean, it was kind of, like, not original in the sense that, like, it was Boba Fett. Like, it looked a lot like Boba Fett. But, like, the Razor Crest and Mando himself, like, as a collectible was very appealing. But, again, that was... it just... you could tell, like... like, the excitement around collecting for any of that was just not, you know, the midnight show openings were gone. The toy section for Star Wars was shrinking. And you didn't really know, like, sometimes the toys would release. You didn't really know if you'd even see them in the store when they were first released, or they would pop up here and there. And then, like, you just had to scavenge them. You never knew when to get them or when to find them. And I remember the times when I really was zeroed in on things. It was really hard to you know, you had to like check online all the time or like go to the stores. And I feel like Mando, Rise of Skywalker, and then all the stuff after that was just, yeah, it was a struggle because there was no like consistent release rhythm.
Okay, so to close this thing out, whether you collect Star Wars or not, I definitely can say I've collected my fair share of Star Wars.
If you could see where we're sitting here recording this,
so
you would know that Justin and I, and we're at Justin's place as we record this, it is a museum of Star Wars collectibles.
Yep, from action figures, from Black Series, to the vintage collection sets, to the helmets, to even the soaps from Dr. Squatch. Star Wars is definitely a big, giant merchandise juggernaut that has lasted for
almost decades. 50 years. And I still can't go to Target. Almost every time I go to Target, I have to walk through the toy section. Like, there's just this part of me, even if I know I'm not going to buy anything, there's this part of me that's still 7 years old and that wants that little thrill of walking through the toy aisle and seeing what cool Star Wars toys are there, even though a lot of times I don't buy anything. And I don't buy anything primarily because it's just, I don't have any place to put it. And I don't want to just collect stuff and just have it in a box somewhere. And at some point, I'm probably going to have to just bite the bullet and like really invest some time and money in a way to display things in my house. But there is still something to this day about being in a physical retail environment, shopping for or looking for or looking at Star Wars toys. And I don't think I'll ever get over that as long as it's a thing that I can do. As long as there's Star Wars toys at Target or at wherever else you might find them, I think that'll always be a thing. It's just been a thing for me for so long.
Yeah, even Wally's.
So, yeah, I haven't gone there in a long time either. Yeah, same here. I need to go there.
Yeah, same.
Yeah.
All right. Well, so that concludes the this Each Set Sold Separately trilogy. And thank you so much for listening. And we will be doing some other Star Wars stuff as the months go by.
We're definitely going to need to do a Star Wars for the new Lego stuff that's dropping tomorrow, you mentioned.
Oh, yeah. And plus, I don't think we've done a Lego special episode with Nikki Kumar.
Yeah.
But we haven't done, like, one specifically on the
any Lego shorts. Content. Yeah. 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 Which is, I mean, those are so enjoyable and so fun and so well done that, yeah, we should definitely take some time to do that.
Yep. And plus, the 10th anniversary of Rebels is just around the corner, so we might cover that as well. And Skeleton Crew.
Skeleton Crew is coming up.
So there's still some stuff to talk about before the year ends. And, yeah, until then, may the Force be with you.
Always.
Great shot, kid. That was one in a million.